Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is October the 20th, 2016. It is a Thursday afternoon. We'll have about, six, maybe 5 hours of live programming for you today on Black Talk Radio. So make sure you keep it locked in as we have new content streamed to you live. We got Tando Radio Show coming up at 6 o'clock, and Blacks in Business Radio will be on. They'll be talking about an important topic about business taxes and not waiting till too late to get those all filed. So make sure that y'all keep it locked today on Black Talk Radio, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. I don't have a guest today, so it's pretty much open forum, open lines. But I, of course, have to have something to talk about. I cannot come on these airways with an empty slate and just start rambling. So it is the political season, or politics season, as some would call it. But the third and final rigged presidential debate was last night. I did not watch all of it. I was watching some of it as I was in and out the room because we were streaming live programming on Black Talk Radio. Wednesday nights is our most busiest night, so I was in and out. Plus, I never watch these things all the way through because I can't watch it with other people around, because I call them liars, I'll be calling them names and what have you. So it's pretty much hard for somebody to sit with me and watch one of those things, because I'm going to point out all the lies and all the things the moderator missed or didn't ask and what have you. So, I mean, politics is very important people activity area, no matter who's controlling it, because that is by means how everything on this planet is being controlled by people and corporations engaging in that activity, and it controls everything. So you should pay attention. No matter who's in power and who's not in power, you need to pay attention, because they are telling you what they plan to do. And it ain't looking too good for people here in the United States, no matter who becomes the next CEO of USA Inc. Of course, last night, the most storyline, I guess, that the CNN, I can't speak on MSNBC or Fox News, I didn't watch their after the debate coverage, but I caught a couple of minutes, maybe about 7-8 minutes after the debate went off. Van Jones was on there, some other people as well, but he really stood out to me because he was just in that documentary, The 13th, and we did a review on New Abolitionist Radio. We actually did a special broadcast after we had, and I'm when I say we, I'm talking about the host and producers of that program. It's three of us, and we did our review, and we critiqued the information that was being put out by people like Van Jones. And Van Jones is not an abolitionist. He doesn't ever use the word slavery in its proper context. He talks about slavery as slavery is in the past. And I was like, he should not have even been a part of that documentary. Sure, he can come on and cite statistics and reports like we do every day on this network as we share the work of other journalists out there over these airwaves. So anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But when you put yourself out there as a socially conscious black activist that's also, I don't know, sometimes he's grassroots, sometimes he's mainstream. Remember, he was a part of the Obama administration's cabinet. But when I see somebody being described in those terms, being included as a source of accurate information on the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and in order to score some political points or attack Donald Trump, a vile white racist man, there's no doubt about that. But how do you, as a black man who has all of these labels, and I think Max and them on New Abolitionist Radio last night were talking about the wars he had won from the mainstream corporations in news media, the wars that he, but then how do you, in order to attack Trump, say, praise, in fact, George Washington? When George Washington was the first Trump, he was Trump before Trump, okay, before he was what Trump is trying to become. And what is that? Oh, well, he's already wealthy. Now he wants the political power. Just he's trying to become the next George Washington, a white racist slaver. And on the right, or the alt-right, or whatever they're calling themselves today, conservatives, racist suspects, all, they like to praise these people too. And they never recognized that these men were anti-freedom and anti-liberty. Well, they recognize it, but they try to rationalize it. So how does a black man rationalize somebody as educated or well-read or is purported to be well-read, well-informed, how does he praise a white slaver? If y'all saw that, what are your thoughts on that? We are definitely going to listen to about 6 or 7 minutes of CNN's coverage, what they were seen to be following mostly, though, was to point out that Donald Trump said that he would not commit to accepting the results of the November 8th election. Early voting started today in some parts of North Carolina. It doesn't start in the district I'm in until the 24th, so that will be Monday, I believe. But in other parts, I think on the East Coast of North Carolina, which was impacted heavily by Hurricane Matthew, I think they started voting today. But the narrative seemed to be focused on Donald Trump not committing to accepting the results of what he has said is a rigged election. Now, anybody that's listened to this program for any length of time or listened to me express my views on racism, on people like Donald Trump, on the system, you know I'm not on here to defend Donald Trump. But what I'm on here to do is make sure that you are not confused by these, as Mr. Fuller, Neely Fuller Jr. would call these racially showcased people. Because most black people, that's all I'm really concerned about as a black broadcaster, journalist, platform, you know, news media platform, publisher. I'm just concerned about the truth and black people not being confused by what they're seeing on racist suspect television, RST. and they will see a person like Van Jones and know that he has been highly promoted throughout mainstream media. Everybody know who Van Jones is. If you saw Van Jones walking down the street, you would know who he is. Those signature, you know, glasses, circle glasses. You know who Van Jones is, the bald head, and you know who he has a distinct way of speaking as well. So pretty much millions and millions of black people know who Van Jones is. And for him to come out of his mouth like that, it's suspect. So he must have been speaking to racist suspects out there trying to convince them to vote for Hillary Clinton because Donald Trump is not a patriot. He was even playing the patriot card. And I don't think he was doing it in a codified way. It was a codified way, but on whose behalf? On Hillary Clinton's campaign behalf. By questioning Donald Trump's patriotism and praising George Washington. He never praised, you know, saying Donald Trump doesn't praise people like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. These are racist white slavers, and it is frustrating to me as a self-respecting black man to see ignorance, number one. But I don't think he's ignorant. I don't think anybody's ignorant about whether or not George Washington was white or was classified as white by the system, that he enslaved human beings. There's no question about these things, and raped at least one of those victims of slavery that he held on his plantation. I think her name was Venus. So he was Trump before Donald Trump. This is the man that had a racist ban against black colonists joining the Continental Army. Because black colonists and farmers and people who were here came here through Europe, usually. They were being taxed too, and they were doing the same thing that the other colonists were doing. So they wanted to join the cause to claim this new land, which they were really stealing from indigenous folks and what have you, but that's a history they don't like to talk about. But George Washington, being a racist, wouldn't allow black colonists to join. So the British started recruiting, you know, escaped victims of slavery and brought over Ethiopian troops, and they were beating the Continental Army. This is documented history. I challenge anyone to challenge me on these facts. But he lost six of the first nine battles, major battles of the Revolutionary War, until after losing number six, he lifted his racist ban in these black colonists and also formerly enslaved Africans. Excuse me, not formerly, they were enslaved. Some of them got some freedom for fighting in it. Some of them didn't. But they came in and they won the revolution. They saved it. They saved it. So to praise and promote racist white slavers, who this man, in terms of military geniuses, he was no genius. He didn't come up with any kind of elaborate strategies and outsmarted the British. It was all about manpower, as it typically was back then. It was all about manpower. But this racist slaver had no intentions of applying any kind of rights that he held from him for himself. Thomas Jefferson, all of them same. None whatsoever to apply those. Not only to, of course, you're not going to apply those rights to people you enslave, and that just doesn't work. But again, every black person on this continent, every descendant of an African, did not come here by way of slavery. So he had no intentions, and others like him, no intentions of extending the rights of the Constitution to the free black colonists. They practice racism from the inception, and that is clear when you look at their photographs and you don't see any black people except for maybe a slave, a victim of slavery, I should say. So again, do not be confused by these black people on television, because they're following a script, and it ain't a script that is where we come out on top at the end of that script. No, it is not. So if anybody has any thoughts of that, you're definitely welcome to share anything that you saw. The most important thing, I'll say this, out of the debates that it was one question. And what's the guy's name? Chris Wallace asked her, he's from Fox. I don't know who he's with now, but he usually is on Fox Sunday mornings. But he said, he asked her about a no-fly zone. How are you going to enforce that? How are you going to impose that? And then he asked her if a Russian plane, quote unquote, violated this no-fly zone that the United States and NATO, they're talking about NATO had to get involved to enforce this fly zone. That mean Turkey, all the border states around there. And so would that mean you would shoot down a Russian plane? She totally dodged that. She totally dodged it, did not answer the question of whether or not a Clinton administration would shoot down a Russian plane in Syrian airspace. And Chris Wallace did no follow-up whatsoever. And Donald Trump's kind of clueless on these issues. He did not point these things out either. But again, the system's rigged. It is rigged. Like he said, it was rigged. But for them to try to make that the big point of the night, that's just so intellectually dishonest, and a lot of people fall for it. That's why we cannot name call people out there who believe what they see from these liars, because these liars are trained. They get paid a lot of money to do it. Reading real history isn't encouraged. Y'all know how the indoctrination system is and what they call public education or education period, whether it's public or private, they still indoctrinating children with the same old lies. Lincoln freed the slaves, lie. George Washington could not tell a lie, liar. I mean, wow. So let me see, what else do we want to go into? I was listening to The Lotus Place last night. That comes on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on the station. And they play this clip of Michelle Obama, and I'm going to play it again. And everyone from First Lady Michelle Obama to former stripper Amber Rose, I think Kanye used to go with her, and she got a child with a rapper. Not sure which one, think Wiz Khalifa might be. And so she's weighed in on Trump's comments that were caught on tape about molesting women, about sexually assaulting women. And it was much deeper than just about sexually assaulting women. And without really getting deep, Amber Rose kind of surprised me now that I think about it. She did go deep. And said it is also about how men like Trump, who were born into money and power, and they do any and everything to anyone that they feel like doing. Let's not forget Donald Trump has a lawsuit for repeatedly raping a 13-year-old. That's a real lawsuit in federal courts. I have heard about no investigation opened up by the federal government that would be a federal crime. I haven't heard about the NYPD as it happened. These attacks allegedly happened, these rapes in parties thrown by billionaire and convicted sex slaver is what he really is, but convicted a pedophile. What's his name? Jeff Epstein, billionaire, didn't do not even a year in jail, let alone prison. And so that's allegedly, I haven't heard about the NYPD Special Victims Unit, you know, they got the television propaganda program, how, you know, there's no Olivia out there pulling up this cold case and investigating. Not that I am aware of. Because I was thinking about Bill Cosby and how prosecutors in different states have looked at whether or not they can charge him criminally for basically the same sort of thing. Donald Trump did not talk about drugging anyone, but these are still crimes, sexual assaults that he described. And other women have come forward and said they are victims of. Has anyone heard of any prosecutors out there in those states where that occurred, in those counties where the district attorney has absolute power to investigate, call for investigation? Have y'all heard about anything like that happening to Trump? Now, I don't want people to get confused and say this is a black versus white thing, because Jeffrey Epstein is white. Now, we'll wait. If Bill Cosby was to get convicted, if he do more than a year in jail, then we could say there's the disparity, the racist disparity. How come billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who had multiple victims and paid them off, how come he didn't get no hard prison time? So, because I think Bill Cosby, that's a done deal. He has to get like a jury that's predominantly black or fans of the Cosby Show or something like that to escape a guilty verdict, I think, with that many people coming forward. So I don't want to make it about a black or white thing. I do want to make it about justice. But I mean, still, it always is there lurking under the surface, isn't it? Racism. This country founded, and the foundation is racism. So yeah, we do have to keep pointing that out. But on his comments. So I listened to Mrs. Obama's speech last night on the Lotus Place, as that was one of the segments that they did. And I listened to her speech, which I had read about, had gotten a lot of praise. I had seen on social media people posting about it, the video. Didn't really want to read it because I know it was going to end up with an endorsement for Miss Ann. And y'all don't know who Miss Ann is, as Asada Shakur or a revolutionary like that. From that time period, who Miss Ann is. So I never wanted to watch it. But since I was engineered the Lotus Place, I had to listen. I listened to it. Pretty good, well-written speech or rehearsed speech that she gave there. But it still, she was talking about the rape culture, that Donald Trump is doing this and Donald Trump is doing that, and how disgusting he is and how offensive this is to women, and he's promoting serious crimes against women. And I had to chime in with Sister Black Rose on her program last night, and I said, where was this speech 8 years ago, 4 years ago, about the state of black radio? Everything that Donald Trump, everybody's saying about Donald Trump, just forget about Donald Trump. Replace that with the call letters of your local black rap station. It's probably owned by iHeartRadio, which might have formerly been known as Clear Channel. Might be Radio 1, which is owned by black people. I have to point that out too. And all the filth and misogynistic and the rape culture that's being promoted. I mean, let's not act like we have brain damage and we can't remember when there was a whole campaign going after Rick Ross, talking about Molly, and all these people rose up just like they rising up against Donald Trump right now for him, his saying. And I'm not saying that they were incorrect to do that. But black women, black girls are similarly spoken about in the same sort of vulgar and obscene language every day on urban radio stations, again, owned by the big media companies, Clear Channel, iHeartRadio. So forget about Donald Trump. Just imagine when I play this clip, the first part of it, like she did last night. Just replace references to Donald Trump, and in place of Donald Trump put the call letters of your local railway. Is it Power 98, like coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina? What station is it in the city that you in that plays all of this offensive language and more, promotes criminality, drug use, all that kind of stuff? And Michelle Obama said she's so concerned about the children. Well, we could have really used her as a voice and an advocate for the Clear the Airways project with Brother Quabena, who comes on every other Thursday on BTR News as a contributor to talk about the latest activity out there to get sponsors like McDonald's, Walmart, whatever commercials you are hearing on these radio stations to get them to pull their advertisement, like Brother Quabena has compared it to how they pulled the advertisement from Rush Limbaugh when he made those vulgar comments about that white lady. I don't recall her name right now. Sandra Fluke, I think, was her name. So where was Mrs. Obama? Where was, I don't know all the black sorority names out there, with this concern about this sort of language being used? So, you know, her point was, if I remember correctly, one of her points was, I didn't even want to watch the debates with children. Who wants to watch debates where he's talking all vulgar and these sort of things are coming up? And we have to protect our children's ears. That's just a shame that this is a man in being considered as the a major party nominee. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I know a lot of people see Michelle Obama as a role model and they follow her, and she's done some good work on some things like the obesity and getting children to be active. And so she's done some good things, but where is this concern about this stuff that's being pumped daily into the ears of black men and young boys, where this sort of language, violent language, rape language towards women, where are their voices? No major feminist groups are up in arms. They are not turning out in Chicago with Clear the Airways Project picketing in front of a McDonald's and telling people to turn off Killer Radio, which was a campaign that launched a few days ago or almost a week ago. Turn off Killer Radio. So I just really thought that was hypocritical. And considering that she has teen daughters, one of them she might be 18 and 19, the oldest girl, but she is the one that we saw on the video smoking weed down there in Columbia, and then later on the stage twerking. But we hear these sort of things every day on quote unquote black radio, black music radio, rap, R&B stations and what have you. Same sort of things. We see the videos that's being promoted to people who are being probably been to the White House. How many of these rappers that seem like that? Nicki Minaj ever been to the White House? What's on her daughter's iPod? Are they tuning in to the local whatever Washington, D.C. station is? Is that what they allowing them to listen to? Because if they are, then how's that any different than what Donald Trump says? If we want to be real about it, it was pretty mild what he said compared to what you can hear every day on radio stations targeting quote-unquote urban markets, which we know urban market is code for the black market. So what are y'all thoughts on that? or what Amber Rose had to say, saying that she understands his comments because he's rich, powerful, and white, and grew up with the means and ability to have his way with anything and anyone. In fact, some of the people who defend him point that out. He's rich. He doesn't have to assault you. He don't have to get his cheap thrills by grabbing your behind or grabbing, you know, her vagina. So that's really not a good in defense. I see it as an indictment. So in a very uncomplicated way, Amber Rose did say something that actually makes sense and it was logical. She said that when she was a young stripper, I'm paraphrasing what she said, we'll look at the article, but she said when she was a young stripper, she might have been afraid to report Donald Trump, who I call the Trumpster. He is. He's the Trumpster. He's like this cartoon villain, this character. He is. He's the Trumpster. And she would have been afraid to report him. And that just really is similar to why the young woman, well, she's probably in her 30s now, who has filed a lawsuit in New York federal court against Donald Trump for repeatedly raping her when she was 13 years old and being held as a sex slave by Jeffrey Epstein, again, a billionaire who did less than a year for multiple victims like her. So that's why she waited until now, all these years, you know, dealing with the trauma, the sexual. I've never been raped, but I've heard people talk about what a rape victim goes through and why they may not speak about it. That's what Amber Rose is saying here. That's why that woman, Jane Doe, because they're not releasing her real name because she was a minor at the time, only 13, where she said Donald Trump, in this lawsuit, alleging that Donald Trump raped her, beat her, and threatened to kill her. So again, I'm not on here to defend Donald Trump, make excuses for Donald Trump, but what I am wanting to point out, where's all this concern about Donald Trump's behavior and the things that he represents and promotes and the type of language that he uses, the behavior towards women, where's all this concern about these characters in black radio and so-called the hip-hop industry, which is run by white corporations? You do have some black people in management level positions and A&R department and what have you, and they start their own little subsidiaries. And but where's all the outrage towards them? So we can just let our children's ears be murdered every day with these violent criminal lyrics every day, and oh, it's okay. But during the campaign season, during the election, oh, all of a sudden it's an issue because you can use it against your opponent. Now all these people come out. How dare Donald Trump? I'm so offended by what I heard, and I wouldn't even let my children watch the presidential debate, because I don't know what he's going to say. But yet we stand by and we allow obscene and profane music lyrics to go out every day on the FCC licensed airwaves. I've even heard people defend it under freedom of speech. Same as some people defending Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is normal compared to most Americans, what they tolerate and what they hear every day. Anybody that's listening, I don't know about these white stations because I don't listen to them. I do know a listener of Black Talk Radio pointed out to me in an email or on a social media post that they be talking about woman beating and other kind of abuses, and country music is misogynistic. I don't listen to country music. Like Brother Kwabena said, we focused on that, what is targeting Africans, but I appreciate that report from him. But Donald Trump is typical American white male, racist. I don't think we have to call him suspect anymore. He is a racist, so very powerful racist, and that's what's Amber Rose's point. Donald Trump told you after he raped you and beat you. This is a big dude now. He like 6'4". He's taller than me. He may not be muscle bound, but he still dwarfs, I would think, a 13-year-old girl. And so if he raped you and beat you, and then you notice he's a billionaire and his buddy whose apartment he's raping you in is a billionaire, and he threatens to kill you, don't you think that you would, especially somebody that age, would be fearful and be like, he does have the means to just have somebody just kill me and I'll just be a statistic. But let's not be hypocrites and point all these negative things out about Donald Trump. They should be pointed out, but then we want to sweep our dirt. Not my dirt, but you know what I'm saying. Want to act like they are all of a sudden offended by language that's heard every day on the public airways and all on, not to mention the cable channels that people pay for. And if you're paying for it like that, if it's not regulated by the FCC, then I'm not trying to impose censorship and do what you want. I just won't consume it. But when it comes to the public airways, got to draw the line in the sand. And we could really use Michelle Obama as an advocate on cleaning up this filth from the black radio stations, especially considering she grew up in Chicago and all the violence that we see going on in Chicago. We're not really sure what the violence is stemming from, who are the instigators of that. We do know, we've heard reports of guns magically appearing in alleyways and high-tech weapons and assault weapons, fully automatic. We've heard some reports from former gangbangers about, you know, this has been going on a couple of years. This is where she's from. This is where she met her husband, where he quote-unquote cut his teeth as a grassroots black activist. But they remain silent. They remain silent. I can't remember the call letters Brother Quabner said of the stations up there in Chicago, but they remain silent about all this murder music, violence being promoted in Chicago on those radio stations. Brought to you by Big Mac. All day breakfast, 24 hours now. Or BK, Burger King. Walmart. All these corporations. So let's just stop the hypocrisy and allowing people to manipulate our minds and just look at things objectively. So I'm overdue for a break. Again, this is open forum. I'm just in a loose format for the day. Any of these things you want to chime in on, any things you want to report. After I come back from the break, I do want to hit up the calendar on BTR Community. Tomorrow will be the first day of the first conference of 1 million conscious black voters and contributors who are meeting in Atlanta tomorrow for the 3-day conference. So I do have some stuff I want to share about that. A couple of other news stories. There's just so much happening. It's hard to talk about everything. So that's why I'm glad we have btrcommunity.com. I appreciate everybody who is sharing articles and information and discussing it. How is this propaganda misleading people? But, you know, just gathering intelligence reports and analyzing this sort of stuff. So I definitely appreciate all the members that post there. All right, so we'll be back on the other side. Let me give out the phone numbers and throw it up for those who are listening on YouTube. But the telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Hit star 61 and one to comment on air. I'm not opening up the studio lines because I don't have a guest. So Skype just drains more resources. I'm saving up in the budget of Black Talk Media Project to get another computer that can handle all that. Then we can even start bringing in video of some of these hosts for some of those who choose to participate in that, do some interviews. So it'll just help us, this a newer computer that can handle this streaming software and all the and get the full power of the production capabilities of it. So that number again, 641-715-3660, 549-032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to comment on air.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Seems like we had a caller drop off the board that may have had a question or comment. If you're out there, by all means, give us a call back. Any news you want to report, any point of view on the news that we have shared that you may have, you can definitely share that. So I'm going to jump into this Van Jones clip. It's really about the debate from last night, but we're going to listen to the first six, seven minutes after Van Jones speaks, because of course they're not going to let him lead off. So we got to listen to these racist suspects talk before they get to Van Jones. But just know that this issue that they are making an issue of, Donald Trump saying he won't commit to accepting the November elections, any logical thinking person would say that. The election has not happened. Look what happened in 2000 to Al Gore. But I don't look at what happened to Al Gore. I look at what happened to them Black voters. Remember Fahrenheit 9/11? Michael Moore produced that film. In that film, they talked about the stolen election in the beginning of that documentary film, and they showed all these Black people from Florida that had came to the Congress, and remember, the vice president would be the president of the U.S. Senate, and giving testimony and presenting evidence of how they were disenfranchised and what have you. And not a Democrat, not a Republican, not an independent. Is Bernie Sanders a senator, right? I didn't see Bernie Sanders stand up and sponsor these people, petition or whatever the rules and procedures that were talked about needed to happen for them to investigate that. No, Al Gore was like, just after the Supreme Court ruled what it ruled, he accepted the results. So that, and then 2004, all that election voting fraud, vote flipping, this is stuff that documentaries have been done about. So a logical person being asked that question, I would say the same thing. I have to wait to see what occurs on election day. For all we know, election day may never happen, as elections could be suspended during martial law. Now, I'm not saying that I've seen anything to indicate that may happen, but it could happen. So the foolishness of the argument to say, oh, he won't commit to, and then we don't even have to go back to the 2000s, but all we had to do was go to this year's Democratic primaries. Arizona voter database hacked. People's affiliations changed because Arizona does not have an open primary. So if you change people's affiliation, if they were a Democrat, wanted to vote for Sanders, and you change them to independent or undeclared or Republican, then they can't vote for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary. Don't matter what their registration cards say, they were going by what the computer said. And of course, this in the Arizona Secretary of State came out and then admitted. We played the clip last week, I believe, that their election was hacked. Where was all of the concern back then? You know? And Bernie Sanders, some of his donors have a class action lawsuit that is moving forward through the courts based on the revelation that the DNC in emails admitted to violating its own rules and cheating and rigging, yes, rigging the system for Hillary Clinton. Don't play these partisan games with me. You can lie to yourself and tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself to justify whatever it is you do. In this case, voting for whoever you're going to vote for. But the facts still remain, the facts stand. You can't argue with those. So it says something to me about your criminality when you're talking about supporting either one of these criminals. We got a rapist on one hand, a racist rapist on one hand, who wants to continue and expand modern-day slavery and human trafficking. He's talking that crime and punishment type talk that Bill Clinton was talking in the 90s. Then we got an international mass murderer in Hillary Clinton. So you asking me to vote for a rapist or a murderer? And then you want to ridicule me because I say none of the above? Come on now. Who really has morals and values? So don't fall for the political theater. These people study the masses, they create focus groups, they test out propaganda lines on them, they test out the speeches on them, they sit around. It's all about selling you with a bunch of buckets of words if you really pay attention to what they're saying and what they're not saying. But again, I don't want to blame people. As they would call them, the schooled masses out there. I don't want to put the blame on them. But when I see quote unquote educated people like Van Jones and other showcase black people, and this nonsense is coming out their mouth, then you want to talk like this is such harmful language and the way that you was being dramatic, Miss Obama. But for 8 years, you've been silent about the state of black radio. I wouldn't even call it black radio. I would just say it's radio targeting black communities. Wow. I'm sorry, y'all. I get kind of emotional sometimes because I deeply care about these issues. Like Michelle Obama put on a good acting job like she was. But let's not jump ahead to her. Let's listen to these racist propagandists, racist suspects, proxy racists, showcase, whatever, however we need to explain these people to help people understand their role in the system of racism and slavery. So here is a panel from CNN, and I'm going to have to back it up, but it's worth listening to the narrative. Again, the most important thing said or not said last night was Hillary Clinton, when asked if she would clear or prove the shooting down of a Russian plane in Syria's airspace, and she totally dodged that question. And she gave her well-rehearsed lines and changed the subject to Syrian refugees. And all they talked about in the first, I guess, 40-something minutes was Donald Trump won't commit to accepting election results. I mean, think about the absurdity of this. When we have documentaries out there showing you that elections do get hacked.
Gloria, David Axelrod, have you ever heard a presidential candidate say?
Watching Kellyanne walk away reminds me of a bad debate.
Okay, let me get my audio right. Okay.
I was once and the worst thing in the world is going into a spin room and trying to persuade people that the disaster they just watched was actually a triumph. This was a disaster for Donald Trump. He started off temperamentally. I thought, well, this is, I was going to apologize to Jeffrey because I was going to say he can surprise us. And I was surprised because temperamentally, as the debate began, it looked as if he was going to take a different approach. He did articulate starkly conservative positions on guns, on immigration, on choice. That will go to his base, probably not to the swing voter, not to the women he needs to get. But he was composed. He wasn't interrupting. Hillary Clinton just pushed his buttons, and by the end of the debate, he just unraveled. But he wrote the lead of the story.
Forever.
He wrote the lead of the story.
Just for those who did not see that moment, let's play that moment that everyone's talking about.
One of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner. Not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well, okay? Chris...
And that was the moment.
Mike Pence assured the nation in no uncertain terms that they would accept the result of this election. Others went on television, including Kellyanne, and said they will accept the verdict of the voters. And he didn't. You know, Anderson, this is core for a lot of Americans. You say, what makes America great? This is what makes America great. And the fact that he wasn't willing to say, I'll accept the results of this election, I thought that's going to haunt him, not just through this campaign, but for a long time.
Keeping you in suspense makes it sound like this is some sort of a game or a reality TV show. I don't want to be kept in suspense.
That's right.
And I think it's very difficult. I've never heard any candidate ever... in a presidential debate, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think any of us is old enough to have ever heard it, to say to the American public that I won't necessarily accept the result. It is stunning to me,
Jeffrey
potentially
Lord?
Disqualifying to me, honestly, Jeffrey.
We clearly saw two entirely different debates.
I guess so.
Let me just say to you here.
What about that moment in particular?
I'm looking at December 13th, 2000. December 13th, not the night of the election, not the next day, Al Gore
I'll
concedes
tell you about
a presidential.
That.
No, there is no. This is here. This is what the problem is. This is when I talk about the ruling class and elites and double standards.
Just to make
there
your
was
point.
One, there
you
was one standard.
Made your point yet.
There was one standard for Al Gore.
What did Al Gore say?
Al Gore said that he would accept the process a month late. He took it all the way to the Supreme Court. He didn't concede.
Let him finish, Gloria.
He did it because he feels like a privileged insider, and his pals felt like privileged insiders, and this permeates the entire system, and this is what's wrong.
That was because Florida, because there was such a narrow margin, Florida had an automatic recount because the laws of the state of Florida called for that. Mm-hmm. And because the election was so close, and don't forget, Al Gore won the popular vote by 500,000, but we won't talk about that because this is about electoral
That's
college.
Right. And
now, it's important for me to stop it there. And those who are listening to us streaming on Black Talk Radio, we had lost our connection momentarily. We have you back. Apologies for that. But I had to stop it here because the lies are just so many of them that it's just so much that you have to wade through. But again, I challenge you to go. You can probably watch it online free now. It's probably on YouTube. They probably put clips up there. If I'm not mistaken, that was Fahrenheit 9/11, and I do not believe I'm mistaken. But it was showing how Bush came into power. And all those black people, who they remember the story about the hanging Chad and all of these election shenanigans going on with the machines and then the electronic machines in other states. So this lady just trying to minimize and erase black voter disenfranchisement in that. Again, this is one of these surrogates for one of the for Hillary Clinton. But again, the facts are the facts. Black people, we have no dog in this fight. Whoever becomes the next CEO of USA Inc., our resistance to racism and slavery has to be the same. And the tactics don't change. Nothing changes. And I'm again predicting, whether by hack or by actually getting elected in what could be a low turnout presidential election, I do believe Hillary Clinton will be the next CEO. So she gonna get treated as if she were Donald Trump, from my perspective and how I will be analyzing the moves she making. So again, this is I call this racism. To say, oh, this was just state law because of the election was so close in the state, less than a certain percentage, so it was an automatic recount. That's a lie. I saw black voter after black voter giving testimony in the Senate chamber saying how they were cheated. How all the problems with the machines and hanging Chad, and they were disenfranchised. And so see again, Democrat, Republican, it don't matter what they call themselves. A racist suspect and a racist is simply that. They are what they are. Doesn't matter what they're calling themselves. We look at what they say, what they do, and then we make our determination. So I consider that to be an act of racism. Let's continue on with this video.
And because the state of Florida said automatic recount, Al Gore said yes. And then there were 36 days in which the country was very patient.
What did the Supreme Court have to do with it?
The election was over election night.
The 50 states did not certify these winners. That's the election was not over. Once the election was certified in Florida, once the court spoke and the election was certified, Al Gore stood in front of the camera.
You are illustrating the problem.
It's a different problem.
It is not.
Al Gore did not
go
on the debate stage and say, I'm not so sure whether I'm going to accept the election results in his third presidential debate.
He called and said, I no longer concede.
Florida was recounting.
Do you want to weigh in on this?
You know, this is a really sad night. I'm just going to say it. This is a very sad night for the country. You can't polish this turd. This is, I'm sorry. You cannot.
Technically, you cannot polish any turd.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to be very, very clear about this. Al Gore respected the Constitution, respected the process, respected every voter, went to our Supreme Court, asked for a resolution on his own terms, as did George W. Bush, and when the election results were certified, he told his party and his base to stand down and accept this, even though a lot of us were very, very upset. What you just got now was the nominee of a major party for the first time in our history, signaling to the American people that he has so little faith in our institutions, he has so little faith in our people, he has so little faith in our courts, he has so little faith in the Republican governors, the Republican secretaries of state across this country, that he will not stand in front of his own country, in front of his own nation, and say that he respects the process and the outcome. That is an outrage.
And
the appalling lack of patriotism from this man. Appalling lack of patriotism from this man to stand there and say that, to praise Putin and Assad more than he has ever praised any American president. He doesn't talk about George Washington. He doesn't talk about Ronald Reagan the way he talks about Putin and Assad. This man has demonstrated an appalling lack of patriotism, and you should be ashamed to sit up here and defend it.
I'm truly perplexed to hear you talk, because you're asking him to
I'm with the racist suspect there, who just said, you know, I'm kind of confused about the way you talk. because for this black man again to suggest that anybody should be praising George Washington, a racist slaver, and then to say that Donald Trump should have faith in the court system, but then he on documentaries like the 13th telling people that the criminal justice system and the courts is rigged against black people. See, this again speaks to credibility on issues as well. So we do have a caller. Let's go to area code 614. I'm going to hold the break and let this caller express their views on what we heard. But Van Jones should be ashamed of himself for allowing himself to be used as a tool for Miss Ann and to lie to people and to make these absurd things like black people or anybody should have faith in a crooked, corrupt system. Again, the Democratic Party. Oh, come on. Look at their primary. Look, California registrations change, Arizona registrations change, similar reports out of Chicago, similar reports out of boroughs in New York that were expected to go heavily for Bernie Sanders and vote flipping. So again, this is just absurd in terms of black journalism. Area code 614. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or your comment.
How you doing today, Brother Scotty?
I'm surviving behind the enemy lines. How about yourself?
I'm saying. I'm listening to the show, and I really appreciate you getting the information out here. I have heard of Van Jones. Is that what you were talking about? The Van Jones comment?
Yes.
Okay. I think that we should be more direct and more. I think we should just call agent provocateurs what they are. The reason why I say this is because if we were properly informed on what that was and what that meant, then people like Van Jones really wouldn't have an effect. See, he doesn't have any type, he may have some political affiliations, a mayor here, a city councilman there, but when it comes to grassroots people, he has no association or relationship with the average, you know, person behind the enemy line. So I don't think that his comments should really, I think we should be more conscious as a people. I think, I was thinking earlier today about Hitler and how that happened. How could a government conform or influence a mass amount of people to follow a trail of their own demise?
Did you say Hitler? And,
excuse me?
You said Hitler?
Yeah.
So we're using Germany as the example, and the question is, how were they able to lead a mass of people on a path of destruction? The answer is the same as the answer is today, and why we discussing misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, whatever they want to call it, spouted by people on the corporate news media is propaganda played heavily in the Nazi campaign to bring them to power and to even sell their genocidal policies. I mean, the same thing happened here in America with newspapers selling people on, you know, what do they call it, redskins, where you bring in these scalps of indigenous people and we'll pay you $25. All of that was promoted through the media, had pointing people as savages. And so Nazis were able to do propaganda, media I should say, played a big role in selling that to the masses. And Malcolm X identified media as the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. So that would be my answer on how did the Nazis get a bunch of us, just regular people, to follow their agenda or accept their agenda or stand by in apathy while all of this went on.
Exactly. And that's my point. You hit on my point. the propaganda, the media, and the public unwillingness to, why do we still have a confidence in government as black people with all of the facts that have been presented? See, the fact is, the truth is always there. It just sometimes requires a little digging. But in order to grab the shovel and dig, you must first lose confidence in what you trust in. See, we still trust in a system that has never had our good interest at heart.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. Repeat that, because that was profound, what you said. I might turn it into a clip or something, a little promo or so. But, talking about the news media, which is part of the system, but you said we had to stop trusting. Say that again, and what?
We have to first lose trust in the system that we trust in order to dig for the truth about the system that we trust. See, if you trust somebody, then you're not going to be suspicious of them in any way, form, or fashion until you sense some betrayal. But we've had plenty of evidence of betrayal. So it kind of defies logic that we are, as a people, where we are mentally today as far as what affects us. You know, you can put the lies out there, but, you know, someone who speaks the truth, the lies just kind of flow off their back. You know, I can filter through that. Bernie, you mentioned Bernie Sanders and the presidential, the election scam. Well, what a lot of people don't know is Bernie Sanders has been a closet Democrat since the 50s. So his disassociation from Hillary was only an attempt for him to raise himself up on a bigger platform. It's all a grievance. John Kerry, he took a payoff. Al Gore, he got $100 million for accepting the scam that he was involved in. They're all complicit. The only people that are in the dark is the black population.
I don't think it's just limited to us. I think there's a lot of white people, Hispanics, and others who are trusting in the system, who trust these things. And so I wouldn't say it's specifically a trait of black people, because remember this, caller, we're all consuming the same media. There is no really black media out there other than outlets like this one, outlets like Black Agenda Report, even though it's not black owned, the Real News, which is owned by the white socialist Paul Jay, but features mostly black people. Jared Ball's on there. I've been interviewed. They interviewed me about black radio. So we're all being hit with the same propaganda, the same lies, the same manipulation, and what have you. So I would just say, of course, let me concede this to you. They have access, and speaking of white people, have access to more real information through mass communications than black people, because black people, who would we really have? No one.
Right. And then I get my news when it comes to international issues and things of that sort. I don't go to corporate media conglomerates. I go to places like RT, Russian Network, an entity that's not controlled by the FCC,
Press TV,
you know.
Press TV, I would say The Intercept. I think The Intercept's based in South America now, even though it is some racist suspects running it. But I think they have been doing some good reporting. So I feel you. I mean, I consider all sources, even propaganda, reveals truth if you know what you're looking at. You can glean information, and they're telling you something that they probably thought you wouldn't catch on to or didn't mean for you to know.
The devil is in the details. And I'm just astounded today at that we are as far as conscious, you know, just being aware and conscious of what the true information is. Truth seekers, you know, knowledge seekers, they find the truth. But we have to first, like I said, stop believing in the system that we have confidence in. And I just don't know what it's going to take for us to understand that, you know, we have no international representation, or we have no government affiliate within this system that's going to help us. Any improvements that's going to come in the black race is going to come from grassroots, you know, everyday people that are behind enemy lines. So
I was about to say that actually we do have some representation from the grassroots on the international stage. I've interviewed some of these people. Afia One Gaza comes to my mind. She has been to the UN and Geneva Convention several times to raise the issue of political prisoners. Some grassroots organizers, one group out of Chicago, they had some kind of presentation at a UN conference. The UN just, they declared this the, what is it, the decade of for people of African descent, something along those lines. And they just sent fact-finding, a panel over here on a fact-finding mission. And they set up, they were in Baltimore, because we interviewed some people that was part of that. They were in parts of Mississippi, just different places. I think it was like 8 or 9 places where they went and got testimony and evidence that was collected from by grassroots organizers and took the presentations. And that's why now they're saying the United States owes not only for reparations for slavery, but for racial terrorism. It's there, and that's ongoing. So we do have some representation and what have you, but you're not going to see these people on the propaganda outlets of the enemy, and that's CNN. You're going to see the Van Jones. You're going to see the Democratic Party operatives like Donna Brazile, and these people have a script that they're following. And it, and again, at the end of that script, is not where anywhere where we're gaining.
Yeah. Anybody that can give a platform on major network media doesn't have our best interest at heart. That's just what I've seen, and you know, my opinion is based off what I've seen. You know, I don't know any of these people personally. I can only tell a tree by the fruit it bears.
Right.
So just based on, you know, the evidence that's been presented, I just don't see anybody on TV speaking for the voiceless, you know, the ones that are not being heard. So I totally stay away from that. That's suicide to your conscience, listening to media networks and things of that sort. But I definitely support you. I love what you do. I just wish that you have a bigger platform and a bigger audience to expose this information to.
Thank you. And you have a great day, sir.
All right, you too. God bless.
Q&AQ is cleared.
All right, good to hear from the caller and for him to share his perspective. And the raise the black consciousness is quite simple, and I've talked about it. I've written about it. I've done podcasts about it, and that is for us to create our own media platforms. And there's nothing to hinder us from doing that by utilizing the internet. Just because it's internet-based does not mean that it cannot be localized to a city, to a town, wherever we are. And that is part of our plans as a nonprofit. As we increase the donations, the services that people get from our nonprofit, the business services and what have you, the subscriptions to btrcommunity.com, as our budget grows, that's our plan, to have a physical presence in a building, whether we purchase the land and hire a black contractor to build the building according to our designs for our studio. We don't need a whole lot of space or anything like that. Is in our, that's the only way. So that's the long term goal. Got to plan 5, 10, 15, 20 years ahead instead of just being stuck in what we don't have right now. We got to plan long term and always be working towards that goal. And I agree with Malcolm X that media controls the minds of the masses. We definitely got to have our own platforms in our war chest, or else we're going to get what we're getting, and that's a misinformed population. All right, going to take a station identification break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Before we take this break, again, want to tell you about the convention, the first national convention that is taking place in Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow, and that is the conference for I Am One of the Million. So you can go to IamOneOfTheMillion.com and you can get some more information. Again, it starts tomorrow. Yeah, it starts tomorrow. Let me see if I can see if I pull up some more details on that. But again, it is IamOneOfTheMillion.com. You can just go /Atlanta 2016. So the national conference, this is the first one, which is being held in Atlanta, Georgia through October the 21st through the 23rd. The early registration period ended. I'm not sure if you can register now. If they're certainly still taking contributions if people want to make contributions. May not have been able to attend, but still want to help cover some of the costs for the first national convention. They can do that. So again, check out IamOneOfTheMillion.com. You're listening again. This is Black Talk Radio News on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, the new black media for the new millennium. And you are tuned in to BTR News right now. Again, if you have any questions or comments, a perspective that you think has not been considered and you just want to introduce that perspective, by all means, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Once you dialed in, *6 and 1, and that'll signal me. We'll get you on air. Before I move on to Mrs. Obama's comments, and I got to keep a watch on my time, just a quick, some quick headlines that was shared on btrcommunity.com. Article titled Ron Paul, it was written by Ron Paul, the former Republican congressman of 20 plus years, former two-time presidential candidate. Three-time. Ron Paul, 15 years into the Afghan war, do Americans know the truth? This is an excerpt. Perhaps Afghanistan is the forgotten war because to mention it would reveal how schizophrenic U.S. foreign policy can be. After all, we have been fighting for 15 years in Afghanistan in the name of defeating al-Qaeda, while we are directly and indirectly assisting a franchise of al-Qaeda to overthrow the Syrian government. He's talking about ISIS, y'all. How many Americans would applaud such a foreign policy if they only knew? But thanks to a media only interested in promoting Washington's propaganda, far too many Americans don't know. Another article, the continuing saga between the diplomatic rift between the Philippines and USA Inc. I still think this guy Duterte, however you pronounce his name, is a maniac who's killing people, simply for using a plant that has medicinal purposes. And wow, I mean, I don't even want to go down that path. I have nothing but contempt for this man. But there is some important news. Philippine leader meets China's president in charm offensive. China scored a major diplomatic victory Thursday, wielding its economic might and political clout to coax the Philippines into resuming a bilateral dialogue on their South China Sea territorial dispute following months of acrimony. And we have been reporting, Tando Radio Show has also been reporting about the conflict or the confrontation or the coming war in the South China Sea between the United States, who was trying to egg on the Philippines and act like the USA Inc. was going to act in the best interest of the Philippines and threaten China militarily and just being involved in something that ain't none of their business. So this right here is kind of good news, as you could look at it and saying that, okay, that cools tensions, because now the United States can't use the Philippines as a proxy to confront China on the territorial disputes of the waters in these islands and man-made islands between the Philippines and China. That takes the U.S. out the equation right there. They are talking to each other directly. The Washington Post went on to say the move could widen a political rift between the Philippines' treaty ally, the United States. What do treaties mean to the United States? And the new administration of President Rodrigo Duterte, who has made no secret of his antipathy for America and ordered an end to joint maneuvers between their militaries. Now, I was remembering, I saw a story saying that the United States military was engaged in joint quote-unquote training exercises. I've taken part in quite a number of those in my 6 years in the military, but I was like, okay, they're saying this and saying that and trading shots at each other, but they still out there training together. So apparently he has ordered an end to that. So wow, that is a big development in the people activity area of not only economics but war as well. Let me see. Last article before I jump to this piece on Michelle Obama. Mark Zuckerberg, according to Fortune.com, they have like, this is a white platform, and they've given some space to some black writers to write in terms of who's, if there's any editing, if they're free to share their words freely, or if they have to, you know, change down or tone down their language. I can't tell you. But anyway, there is an article written by a woman by the name of Ellen McGirt, says why Mark Zuckerberg's diversity defense of Peter Thiel rings false. She says Mark Zuckerberg created a small dust up this week when he issued a statement explaining why he was allowing Peter Thiel, the controversial billionaire investor and co-founder of PayPal and Palantir, to stay on Facebook's board despite Thiel's high profile support of Donald Trump. In a post that was leaked to Hacker News, Zuckerberg said, "We can't create a culture that says it cares about diversity and that excludes almost half the country because they back a political candidate." In a backhanded defense, that is almost comical, he went on to say. There are many reasons a person might support Trump that do not involve racism, sexism, xenophobia, or accepting sexual assault. So go check out the rest of that article. I did not have a chance to read, drill down into it, so, but I did want to share that. I also shared a couple of articles from StopTheDrugWar.org. You can go directly to StopTheDrugWar.org to get intelligence reports on the war, the battlefield out there in terms of modern day slavery and human trafficking. All right, so moving on to Michelle Obama. Again, I was listening to, we do have another call. Before I talk about Michelle Obama's comments about Donald Trump, which were right and correct, but I'm just saying to myself, and I said to people last night, and I want to say again to the listeners today, just replace what Michelle Obama said about Donald Trump with urban radio. We'll just call it what they call it, urban radio, where all these white, predominantly white corporations, whether they own the stations, whether they're advertising on the stations, that's putting all this filth on the public airways between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 o'clock p.m. See, they don't want to wait till the children are in bed during regular bedtime hours and what have you. They don't want to adhere to that. It's just a free-for-all. Nobody's a soul. Replace Michelle Obama talking about Donald Trump and just pretend like she talking about the music industry, the radio industry, and these corporations that sponsor murder music. But we're going to go to the caller before we go listen to Michelle Obama's comments in case people haven't heard it. Area code 816, you're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty? Glad you got me on today. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, what you were talking about with the election and Trump, as we have, what, 3 weeks or so? Correct me if I'm wrong, 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, voting started already in many places, so you might well say election is on right now.
Okay. All right, right now. I just think I have not seen anything like it. Where a man can just basically say that the election is rigged while elections are going on, by the way. I mean, it's as if they're plainly telling the public. Now, of course, he's talking about her side against his, that is rigged in her favor. But in my belief, I believe that, you know, they're both working for the same company, in my opinion. And so I just have not seen anything like it. I'm very interested to see how the next year goes under her leadership, with the country being pulled in so many different sides. You got poor so-called whites being very galvanized, been feeling a certain way. These labor unions, along with them, you have liberals, and you have the distrust from the millennials, which I like. I do like that. Me being a so-called millennial, I do like that, and we do distrust. But I am just very, very interested in how this first year is going to be with the country pulled in so many directions. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is, earlier today I was saying to my mother, because, again, voting started already in North Carolina, so she had asked me something about it. So I had told her, whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, black people all over the planet have something to fear. Okay, they have something to fear because both of them are racist, and they have a racist agenda. And Hillary Clinton, I would say Donald Trump represents the biggest threat to black people domestically. I say Hillary Clinton represents the biggest threat to our sisters and brothers in the African diaspora in terms of the foreign policy. So I don't care how the system reacts. I don't particularly have any thoughts on that specifically. I know she's a war hawk. Donald Trump pretends like he isn't. But he's a businessman, and war is good business. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people go to work. That's how he can create jobs, is starting some stuff and being tough on the Muslims and what have you. Hillary Clinton stated last night she's willing to shoot down, by omission, she admitted she's willing to shoot down a Russian plane in Syrian airspace. So that's going to be escalated. So we're headed for more war. And so just prepare for everything. Prepare for everything. But in Hillary's first year from an abolitionist, as an abolitionist activist, what I'm going to be doing is putting pressure on her administration, her lackeys on the system, to make her eat her words and honor her words, or show people again that she is a liar. Not that I need any convincing, but she was confronted and said and was caught on tape saying, I will end private prisons. That's a domino in the slavery system that I would love to see fall. It's not going to end the system of slavery that's being run, but it would be a domino that would fall. So that's what I plan to do during her first year, and press her for an amendment, not for Citizens United or a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics, although I think, you know, that's important, an important issue. But the most important issue to me as an abolitionist is pressing her government, her administration, and Congress to remove the 13th Amendment slavery exception clause. So no matter what it looks like, my agenda going to be the same as an abolitionist. Does that kind of answer your question? I don't mean to ramble.
No. You know, Scotty, you're on point. I listen to New Abolitionist Radio. Matter of fact, I heard half of the episode you guys taped yesterday. And, you know, I'm kind of new to the language, so to speak, as you and Max and Johanna talk about. I'm kind of new to language, but I get it. Growing up as a young black male in America, I definitely get it, and I get the struggle. So that, to me, yeah, I definitely get that. And I see where she's, like you were saying, in agreement as far as internationally, how they'll work. Most presidents work the same internationally. A lot of people don't know that because, like you were saying, with Black Talk Radio, they have long contingency plans of where they feel like they want, you know, the nation to go, the one percenters do. And so, naturally, they're going to pick people or select people who are going to get in line. And so, I definitely in agreement with that. I hear many people talk about the 13th Amendment and what that could possibly do with that exception clause. And you know, referencing back to you guys, the new abolitionists, as abolitionists, do you think by them removing that clause and correcting some of the state constitutions who make exception clauses like that, do you think it'll, you know, stop it a little bit, or do you think it's going to be pretty much, you know, money talks and, you know, BS walks?
So that's why we had to put money behind our abolitionist movement as well. As we study abolitionism's history on this continent, you had many wealthy individuals and people with very little means all contributed the best way they could towards abolition and ending slavery and working to change laws. As I've often heard other people reference, before they do anything, they pass a law. That seems to be the code that they go by. And so they pass a law. And whether or not they adhere to the laws or what have you, well, that's another conversation. But we feel legally that's again another domino in the system of slavery. We've already seen Venezuela, and there's another reason why Venezuela was purposely collapsed by the United States and its allies. But they had, prior to their collapse, at a United Nations, what they call it, a peer review, had put on the table for discussion with the United States, calling for them to repeal the entire 13th Amendment. And says that it allows for slavery, not against just black citizens primarily, but against migrant workers. That's slavery too, and so is it going to end it? No, it has to be the enforcement behind it. So we have to force them. There are a number of ways. Again, it may take bloodshed. I've said that on this program. May take another civil war. It may take that. So I'm willing to go that far. I can't speak for other people, but I'm willing to do that to see slavery end, being fully knowledgeable about the tricks that they use, like they did in the 13th Amendment. So, but I'm just saying, if it's illegal, for example, let me put it this way. Let's say, who did the guys mention last night? Did they say Colorado? They might have said Colorado. They said it was a state representative who had introduced some legislation. I think it was a black woman who had introduced some legislation to remove the exception clause from the state constitution. So if that is then put into state law, that could arm activists with a legal tool to then sue companies that are involved in slavery. like private contractors and private prisons and say they're in violation of the law. File a RICO lawsuit on them and then sue them for hundreds of millions. Maybe we can't get anything criminally done to them, but we can use their tactics through the courts to levy fines and penalties on them like they've been doing to us. So again, on New Abolitionist Radio, I always say death by a thousand paper cuts, because Max is an anarchist. So I would assume anarchists would be in favor of let's go to war, you know. And me, I'm a any means necessary, like Malcolm X. If we can get it done non-violently, let's get it done non-violently. But I'm not going to sit around and wait for the Civil War to break out and not be doing anything to bring relief to people who are enslaved. If we can just free 100,000, to me, that's worth the effort.
And that's basically what my first question was, with the country kind of looking like it's pulling apart, seemingly like it's pulling apart. I'll put it like that, seemingly like it's pulling apart, with more people kind of being stop being coded in their language and just being all out there. And that's basically what I was getting to with the bloodshed and, you know, and the just a really overt terrorism. Let's just call it what it is. Let's not play. I'm not even going to play with you and say racism or anything else or classism. I'm going to say terrorism.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your views, and feel free to do so at any time in the future.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Q&A queue is cleared.
So before we run out of time, we have Tando Radio coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Brother Dave is the host of Tando Radio Show. Let me go over this. Let's go ahead and hit Amber Rose's comments, because in her way, it's not like, let me just say, in plain language, she basically makes a lot of sense in saying that she understands. And I think Amber Rose is white, so of course she should have some insight and understanding on racism in America and white racist men like Donald Trump. But she said, this is definitely not me sticking up for Donald Trump at all. But I do feel like, based on his age, where he came from, the fact that he grew up with a lot of money and a lot of entitlement, that's probably all he knows. White privilege, older, effing, rich as F, Rose said on her Love Line with Amber Rose podcast on play.it. I can touch anybody's pussy I want. I'm Donald Trump. Who the hell is ever going to say no? She added. The single mother also explained why they got to throw single mother in there. Come on, blackamericaweb.com. Y'all should be more codified than that. What it matter if the woman is not married and has a child? But she also explained, I feel like if Donald Trump, if I was just a regular girl before I became an activist, came and touched my vagina, I would be scared to tell someone. I would be terrified. I would be like, Donald Trump literally just touched my vagina. Who the F do I call? Do I call 911? Do I call the cop that lives in my neighborhood? Who do I contact? Do I get online and put it on Twitter? Rose noted that when someone is a victim of alleged assault from a rich or famous person, it makes it more difficult for the public to sympathize with the victim. So she goes on, you can read the rest of the article, but I could say, you could even say that about the situation with Bill Cosby, and just keeping it within the black community. So you could even say that he's rich and he has his defenders and he's has certain amount of privilege. But I'm gonna tell you, some of the things that are being described, especially in that lawsuit against Donald Trump, and the things he admitted to, and some of what these women have been saying, I don't know if the statute of limitation runs out on sexual assault. I don't know. But I'm not seeing anybody talking about prosecuting him criminally or anybody talking about prosecuting criminally Donald Trump for not the old stuff of the 90s, but the stuff he been engaged in allegedly on Jeffrey Epstein's little private island in the occupied territory called U.S. Virgin Islands. He has a private island. He has pled guilty, paid off victims of underage sex. Well, it doesn't matter your age. If you're a sexual slave, that don't matter. But these are crimes against what people say are children, right? And so what is Bill Clinton doing going to this island all for over 100 times? And in some reports saying he ditched his Secret Service detail to fly to this island on the plane of Jeffrey Epstein called Lolita Express. So I'm not going to hear any investigation into Donald Trump or Bill Clinton's associations connected or any possible crimes committed on the property or in the presence of this convicted sex slaver, Jeffrey Epstein. So I thought that she was being truthful. She was being honest. I thought her comments were accurate. She certainly can put herself, has probably had those experiences, again, being a stripper at such a young age. She's probably been in those situations, but probably wouldn't drop any names because maybe they threatened to kill her too, like Donald Trump's alleged to have threatened this 13-year-old in Jeffrey Epstein's apartment after he raped her repeatedly, then beat her, and she says in her court filings that he then threatened to kill her. So Trump, Clinton, what does it matter? This just shows how black people are criminalized while white criminality goes unpunished. So let me jump to what Miss Obama had to say at a Clinton campaign rally for Miss Ann, where she gave this speech and she's getting a whole lot of praise for it. And I have to ask the question, why? Again, I know how the system works. I know she's being showcased, but guess what? A whole lot of black people put stock into what people like her say. So we have to analyze their words and provide that analysis to the public, and people can take it or leave it. Got nothing to do with attacking her or anything like that. I know she got a lot of fans out there, and a lot of people, they just don't want to hear anything negative about the Obamas, regardless of what they're doing. They're just like the Trump fans who, if Donald Trump can say whatever, and they still support him, same with the Obama family. They can do whatever because they're more codified with their language, but they can do whatever and nobody question it other than racist suspects. So I'm going to pull up this speech. We're going to listen to it until she gets to the point to where she start pushing Miss Ann and telling black folks and everybody else to vote for Miss Ann.
In this election, we have a candidate for president of the United States who, over the course of his lifetime, in the course of this campaign...
Now, okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to stop and interrupt it, because I'm going to let her talk without interruption. But please, please, please work with me with this mental on this mental exercise. Don't hear Donald Trump's name. Hear iHeartRadio. Hear Clear Channel. Replace Trump with Clear Channel. Replace Trump with the call letters of your local urban radio station. Okay? Let's set Trump aside. Let's exercise him from our minds. And let's pretend that the First Lady is talking about the state of black, media targeting black people, calling it hip hop, rap, whatever. So here we go.
Campaign has said things about women that are so shocking, so demeaning, that I simply will not repeat anything here today. And last week, we saw this candidate actually bragging about sexually assaulting women. And I can't believe that I'm saying that a candidate for president of the United States has bragged about sexually assaulting women. And I have to tell you that I can't stop thinking about this. It has shaken me to my core in a way that I couldn't have predicted. So while I'd love nothing more than to pretend like this isn't happening and to come out here and do my normal campaign speech, it would be dishonest and disingenuous to me to just move on to the next thing like this was all just a bad dream. This is not something that we can ignore. It's not something we can just sweep under the rug as just another disturbing footnote in a sad election season. Because this was not just a lewd conversation. This wasn't just locker room banter. This was a powerful individual speaking freely and openly about sexually predatory behavior and actually bragging about kissing and groping women, using language so obscene that many of us were worried about our children hearing it when we turn on the TV. And to make matters worse, it now seems very clear that this isn't an isolated incident. It's one of countless examples of how he has treated women his whole life. And I have to tell you that I listen to all of this, and I feel it so personally. And I'm sure that many of you do too, particularly the women. The shameful comments about our bodies, the disrespect of our ambitions and intellect, the belief that you can do anything you want to a woman. It is cruel. It's frightening. And the truth is, it hurts. It hurts. It's like that sick, sinking feeling you get when you're walking down the street minding your own business and some guy yells out vulgar words about your body. Or when you see that guy at work that stands just a little too close, stares a little too long, and makes you feel uncomfortable in your own skin. It's that feeling of terror and violation that too many women have felt when someone has grabbed them or forced himself on them and they've said no, but he didn't listen. Something that we know happens on college campuses and countless other places every single day. It reminds us of stories we've heard from our mothers and grandmothers about how back in their day, the boss could say and do whatever he pleased to the women in the office, and even though they worked so hard, jumped over every hurdle to prove themselves, it was never enough. We thought all of that was ancient history, didn't we? And so many have worked for so many years to end this kind of violence and abuse and disrespect, but here we are in 2016, and we're hearing these exact same things every day on the campaign trail. We are drowning in it. And all of us are doing what women have always done. We're trying to keep our heads above water, just trying to get through it, trying to pretend like this doesn't really bother us. Maybe because we think that admitting how much it hurts makes us as women look weak. Maybe we're afraid to be that vulnerable. Maybe we've grown accustomed to swallowing these emotions and staying quiet because we've seen that people often won't take our word over his. Or maybe we don't want to believe that there are still people out there who think so little of us as women. Too many are treating this as just another day's headline, as if our outrage is overblown or unwarranted, as if this is normal, just politics as usual. But New Hampshire, yeah, be clear, this is not normal. This is not politics as usual. This is disgraceful. It is intolerable. And it doesn't matter what party you belong to, Democrat, Republican, Independent, no woman deserves to be treated this way. None of us deserves this kind of abuse. And I know It's a campaign. But this isn't about politics. It's about basic human decency. It's about right and wrong. And we simply cannot endure this or expose our children to this any longer, not for another minute, and let alone for 4 years. Now is the time for all of us to stand up and say, enough is enough. This has got to stop right now.
Okay, so we are going to stop it right there as we wind down in our final minutes of the program. So I hope that the mental exercise that I asked you to participate in wasn't that difficult. And just throw Donald Trump out the picture. Throw the politics, things she said about politics out of the picture. Yes, it has been normal for women to have been treated this way by white men throughout the majority of U.S. history by white male political figures. So it is normal. It is. It really is. I mean, do we... Clinton? Bill, they acting like Bill Clinton is not going to be led back into the White House to prey upon interns and what have you. So if y'all thinking about sending y'all daughter to the White House for the next 4 years, you might want to talk your child out of that. Okay? But just imagine to take all of that out and just imagine, if you will, if she was talking about this misogynistic lyrics that's promoting rape, where we have men bragging about running trains and giving women drugs, ecstasy, and letting their whole crew run trains on. This is stuff that's coming on all hours of public radio. I want to stress enough, we ain't talking about satellite where you pay for a prescription. We're not talking about internet radio that you're listening to right now. We're talking about the publicly licensed terrestrial radios, airways that we all own collectively as taxpayers, as members of the community. But yet it's normal for us to hear this coming out of our speakers every day, all times of the day. Again, we have groups out there like Rage Against the Ratchet. We got Paul Porter over there at Rap Rehab. We got Brother Kwabena Rasuli with Clear the Airways Project, really been coming on and really helping to keep our listeners informed on the harmful impact of this language, of this behavior in the black community. So where was Michelle Obama? Where were these women, period, standing up for the communities that are subjected to that sort of same vileness and promotion of sexual assault, promotion of rape, promotion of drug use, promotion of drug dealing? And it's sponsored by McDonald's, Walmart, all the major brands. You know them. Okay? I haven't seen any secret excerpts from secret speeches from Hillary Clinton giving talks to the radio, the corporate radio boardrooms, talking about this must cease. We must stop all of this violent, misogynistic lyrics on the public airways. We must pass a legislation, or we must put stricter enforcement in the guidelines of the FCC and give them the power, if they lack the power, to enforce that no time should profane or obscene language be heard on the radio. But if it's that adult-oriented type stuff, that's supposed to only be on 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. It's time for people to stand up and say no more. You standing up to Donald Trump? Stand up to these white male board members that decide what goes on the radio in urban markets. Go after the producers. And don't give the artists a pass either. Many of these artists get invitations to the White House during the Obama administration. Did Michelle Obama try to pull them to the side and say, hey, Lil Wayne, we need you to clean up your lyrics. Nicki Minaj, we need you to be a better role model for our children. You're international icons now. You have a platform, and what you're promoting is destructive behaviors to our people. This language is obscene, none of that. So that's what I think about Michelle Obama's speech. And I hope that you all will become part of local movements or start local movements in your area, monitoring these public radio stations and filing the complaints. Hit up Brother Kwabena, Rasuli, Clear the Airways Project. Reach out to Rage Against the Ratchet. Ask them what you need to do. There are people on the front lines battling this and have been so every day and aren't doing so, trying to defend the honor of Miss Ann. But they're trying to defend the minds of all people in our African communities. So that's my program for today. Please join me again tomorrow, Friday. I believe we have two guests scheduled. R&B artist who wrote a song, I think it's for the Mike Browns. Hopefully we'll be able to connect with her during the first part of the first hour, and during the second part of the second hour we'll be talking to a Black Panther cub, Brother Ross Nokashore, who is also an activist in his own right. And as we continue the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party, or the founding of the Black Panther Party. Remember, tomorrow in Atlanta, Georgia, 3-day conference for 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. If you're in the Atlanta area, as I know we have some listeners in Atlanta, please considering checking that conference out. Go to IamOneOfTheMillion.com for more information about that. I would call it a social, political, economic movement. All right. That said, recognize that you live behind enemy lines. Slavery is the supreme law of the land, and you do not want to make it easy for these slave catchers. So you have to develop battlefield awareness so that you can be aware of that slave catcher creeping up through your rear view when a mirror, and develop codified behavior on how to counter these racists out there. I'll again be back on air tomorrow. Hope that you'll tune in. Coming up is Tando Radio Show, so keep it locked right here. We'll be coming on with Brother Dave in just a minute.
Mosiah Garvey once said, "The greatest weapon used against the Negro is disorganization." If you believe it is finally time to organize, if you believe black people should have their own political party and understand the importance of block voting, but more importantly, understand and want to practice organized group economics, then you need to join the 1 million conscious contributors and voters. The founders of this organization hold firm to their belief that there are at least 1 million black people, or 2 out of every 100 black persons in this country, who have the best interests of black people collectively foremost in their mind. Are you one of the 2? If so, please visit the 1 million conscious contributors and voters website at IamOneOfTheMillion.com and be sure to join them for their national convention in Atlanta, October 21st through the 23rd, 2016. IamOneOfTheMillion.com.